How's it going, everybody? This is me again, your host, Chewy, and I want to welcome you to the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And, as usual, I am joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
I'm Monica. I don't know what to tell you after all that we talked about.
it's riveting, and yeah.
Yeah, because before recording the episodes, Monica and I have been just kind of venting to each other about our things.
You know, life is just so entertaining sometimes.
Yeah, and that is why I'm drinking right now.
Therapy. That's self-medication right there.
Yeah, and I was telling it you, works. My St. Patrick's night, I didn't go out because of everything that's happening, but I was watching that show that I told you about, The Sweet Home on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I liked it, kind of, you know, it's interesting, but I mean, just real quick, it's a little weird.
Okay.
But I've been having fun. I'm not done with it all the way. I'm like at episode 5, maybe.
It's only one season?
I think so. I think it's only 10 episodes, actually.
Oh,
10
okay.
or 12, something like that. Yeah, so I'm about halfway done, and it's interesting. I hope that I'm getting the entire experience, given that it is a Korean show and I'm watching it with subtitles.
Uh-huh.
I feel like sometimes the translation isn't exactly accurate.
Yeah, sometimes it's off. I've seen that in animes. It's not, or like even in like Spanish shows, like it's not a, like it's like a, what is it, like a direct exact translation, but not exactly appropriate because
yeah
of the culture. Yeah.
Yeah, the intricacies of language, my friend. So I want to remind our listeners of our social media accounts before we forget. We do have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is behind myth. Wait. Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS. And you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we also have our Letterboxd, where we have been posting reviews of the movies that we've been analyzing, as is going to be the case with this one when the episode airs out.
Sweet.
I will post a bite-sized review on Letterboxd about this movie. And you can also find us there under Myths Behind LGDS. And I think Monica's favorite part of the entire podcast is
our super long URL.
Yes, our official / unofficial website. And I think Monica determined that it's going to be our official website for the
yes.
foreseeable future.
TBH.
It is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
And I meant to say TBA, not TBH. I'm not dumb. My brain isn't working right now.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm announcing that like those hotlines where you like watch TV at like 3 in the morning and it's like... Oh,
one
singles.
5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 Oh my god, I remember those fucking ads at night, like,
Yeah.
and then the
Oh yeah.
you feel like your life is going around in circles?
Oh
You want
yeah.
to get a job, but you need experience. But to get experience, you need to go to college. But you need to go to college, you need money. To get money, you need to get a
Yeah,
job.
it was like a circle.
Oh my god, classics.
I remember the specific ad that you're talking about. It was hilarious.
Yeah. It was so corny. It was the best.
You want to let our audience know which movie they're gonna be
We're
talked to about?
talking about today about 13 Ghosts, which is way cornier
Yeah,
than I remember.
I'm gonna get to that, but just real quick, I guess that summarized. I was gonna ask you like to give like a super quick impression, and you just did.
Corny as corn, for sure.
Corny as corn. We should make that into a shirt.
I should make it into a sticker. Yes.
Well, I agree with you. Just right off the bat, I do agree with you that this movie has not aged very well.
No.
And I mean, like we said, we're gonna get into the details of that later, but yeah, we'll take in a little break for now, And coming right back with our critique of 13 Ghosts.
Don't go anywhere.
Ooh. That was a horrible impression of the ghost, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, Monica, you want us to get started on the critique segment for 13 Ghosts? I mean, you already announced to the world that you thought the movie was corny, but why?
First of all, was it a thing to, like, slice people in half in 2000 movies? Because, like, once again, as we saw in a previous movie, I can't remember which one it was that we saw. I think it was, like, Ghost Ship.
Yeah, Ghost Ship.
The creepy freaking lawyer attorney dude... talking about, you know, the will of this super accomplished man who was noted to be, like, they show a freaking article on the newspaper about his death. It's like noted adventurous. I don't know what the fuck, you know, like this dude, who even uses that word? Obviously he wasn't that important. He was just noted. Anyway, this attorney, lawyer, whatever, is like got to be the creepiest dude, and as he's in these people's home telling them that their uncle left them like a freaking fortune and like a really fancy house, the daughter is like, it's the girl from freaking from the scary movies. I can't take her seriously after watching that movie because I keep expecting her to break into some dumb, like, you know, joke or something, you know, like. But anyway, she's, like, over here, like, swooning over this creepy freaking lawyer. And he's, like, she's supposed to be, like, a teenager or something. Maybe, like, 18, 19, something like that.
Yeah, she looks a little older than that, actually.
She does. She is. But, like, obviously, like, in movies, you know, the teenagers are always freaking 20-year-olds, whatever. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, she's, like, being all touchy-feely with this... obviously 30-some-year-old guy, late 30s guy, probably 40s, you know, like, super creepy. They get to the house, and he's, like, in the basement where, like, all the ghosts are kept. And he's talking shit to this girl who's, like, completely naked and, like, slashed and stuff, making a joke about her boobs. And then she gets released. And it sucks because this chick was about to kill him and give him what he deserved. And instead, the house just slices this dude in half.
Oh, yeah.
And everything starts falling apart in pieces. Like, his freaking necktie falls off, cut in half, you know. And his glasses fall off. And then his front part of his body just starts sliding down. And it's like, damn. Like, and you can tell she's upset. She's like, really, bro? Like, I was about to do it. I was about to kill him, and you took that from me. I felt bad for her, actually. And then, of course, like, towards the end of the movie... The one little kid does not look related to them at all. He's like the only Mexican kid in the freaking movie. Like, they're obviously like, the dad's obviously like, you know, he's got curly hair. This kid's got straight hair. Like, he looks more like, what's the name of the guy? Have you seen Ant-Man?
Paul Rudd?
No. The other guy, his friend.
What is his name? That's not Luis, right? And the movie's just the name
Luis? Something, yeah. I can't remember his name, the actor's name, but like that guy.
His name in real life is Mike Peña.
Mike Peña. Okay, that kid looks like his son. Or like him, like the little kid version of Mike Peña. Like, they look nothing alike, you know? Like, the girl, all bad, but the little kid, not good. So anyway, you know, at the end of the movie, they're like in that circle. And all these things are going back and forth. Like, obviously, if somebody jumps in there, they're going to be sliced in half. Because, again, the uncle gets thrown in there and just gets fucking sliced up. And none of them get stained with blood.
There was no blood in that scene, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, he just got gutted. And, like, the blood never... There was blood everywhere in all the other scenes, but these kids didn't get any of it. It's like, they were in the splash zone. Like, they should have been soaked in blood. Nothing happened. Yeah. So... I mean, I don't know what the hell was the obsession with slicing things back in the early 2000s, but that movie was so corny. And then, like, the acting, oh, so bad. So bad.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who acted decently is that little kid.
Yeah.
And the dad. The dad was okay, but there was times where he, like, overdid it. He was just like, oh, my God. My wife. Did you notice the whole time that this kid was lost? This is this guy's son. And the whole time he's going like, we have to find the kid.
Oh, yeah.
The kid. I'm like, bro. And he only once does he say, oh, we just help me find my son. And I'm like, oh, now he's your son? Before he was the kid? Like, what the fuck are you, dude? Like, and a dad refers to their kid as the kid. Like, come on. And I was telling my boyfriend, I was like, he's like the freaking Sancho's son. And like, that's why he refers to him as the kid, because yeah, he knows it's not his.
That's when the milkman was making a little bit too many rounds in that neighborhood.
Yeah, for real.
Not just once a day, but maybe 3 times a day, you know? Ah.
Yeah. I like the whole part in the beginning where instead of showing the entire scene of how the house is burning down, it was just like a 360 of the room that he was already in and the voices. They never explain how she got trapped in the house. What the f*** was she doing that she couldn't make it out? Everybody else did except for her.
I'll get to that in a minute, but I think, yeah, that was interesting. The way that it was shot too. Like, it wasn't like a flashback sequence.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Usually what they do is, in the flashback sequence, they do like black and white.
Yeah.
Or they like do like weird, yeah, weird camera angles, like zooming in and out, whatever, like.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting, like you said, that they do kind of do like a 360. It starts with them like talking in their garden, whatever.
Uh-huh. The and mom's.
Then, yeah.
Chilling with him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the kids are playing, yeah, in the backyard, whatever. And then the camera starts turning around the room. And the music changes. It gets all dramatic. And like, by the time it comes to him all the way back, he's already like all in depression mode because his wife's already dead.
Yeah. And he's got all these bills posted up on the wall. But so who does that? Who puts up their freaking like past due bills on the wall like a freaking achievement? Yeah. Well, yeah. Or like, you know, when your kid draws something and you put it on the fridge. That's kind of what it reminded me of. I'm like, why would you put that up on the walls? Normal people just put that in the back of the drawer and try to forget about it.
Yeah, it's not real. If I can't see it, it's not there. I think the whole concept of the movie was cool and on principle.
Uh-huh.
It was just not executed very well. And we keep seeing this where they have... It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting idea of somebody being like a ghost collector kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get their energy to power this like demonic device. I think the whole point of the machine, is, if I remember correctly, is that it can allow the person that makes or who's using the machine to see all of reality.
The future and all that too,
the
right?
The past, present, future. That's basically, mm-hmm, it's like a huge crystal ball. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
You want to think about it that way? It just wasn't done very well. Like, and I agree with you on the acting. The acting was very hammy.
Yeah, and the whole other thing is like, okay, so the mom was the fourth ghost. How did this guy trap all these ghosts? Because, like, the wife died 6 months before them getting news that they were going to get, like, this inheritance, right? And so he did all this in, like, a couple of months, you know? Like, how did he even track down all those ghosts? Like, because apparently some of them were notorious, and, like, they were very specific about the ghosts. Like, mm-hmm, that would have taken somebody years.
Yeah.
In, like, you know, if we're realistic about this, like... And I'm like, I would have expected, okay, like, if it is the mom that's the ghost, maybe she would have been the 13th one, or maybe, like, at least the 11th, dude. Yeah. But the fourth ghost? Es mal favor. No.
And going back to your previous question is, I think these guys, of course, set the fire to their home. The uncle and the helper, the psychic guy.
Yeah.
And I think they somehow rigged it to where, like, she wasn't able to get out of the house.
Yeah, because it didn't make any sense. I thought it was so stupid. The wife goes... Is that the smoke alarm? No, it's the fire alarm. What the hell is the difference? What's the difference between the smoke alarm and the fire alarm? It's the same shit. Like, what? It was such a dumb line. I'm like, they could have taken that out and it would have been fine. There was no need for that to be there. Like, oh, it's a fire alarm. It's a smoke alarm. Like, kind of mansplain what a fucking smoke alarm actually. No, stop. No.
I think you are being a hater on this movie, my friend.
I don't even remember if I liked it when I saw it, honestly.
This movie came out when I was in high school. 2001.
Yeah. I was 11 years old. I was in middle school.
I was 17-ish when this movie came out. Uh-huh. And I remember watching it, not in the theater. I watched it after it came out on video or on TV, whatever. Yeah. So I watched it maybe like a year later, like 2002 maybe.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was okay. I mean, back then I was, oh, you know, the visuals, because the visual style of the movie, the way the house looks really cool.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit for the visuals. I mean, the house itself, the way it's designed, it's crazy. It's completely ridiculous, but I think it looks cool.
Personally, I wouldn't go to this house and be like, oh my God, what an awesome house. Let's live in here. I'd be like super suspicious. Like, why the fuck is all this writing on the wall? Like, what is that? And then the girl, Kathy, whatever her name is, she goes into one of the bedrooms. She's like, oh my God, this is the best house ever. Like, really? There's no privacy. Everything's glass. How is this the... No. No. No.
Well, I'll give her a pass because she's bae. Ah.
I just see her as this goofy person. I can't get over her. Yeah.
But that was, unfortunately, the actress, Shannon Elizabeth, that was she was typecast, dude.
I know.
Because, I mean, everyone in my generation fell in love with her when she came out in American Pie.
Oh, right. That's true. She was a foreign student,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's like the Russian exchange student, whatever. And she had a scene that I'm not going to describe here because it's not appropriate. But you got to know her very well in that scene.
And then, I mean, I just thought it was so messed up, too, that, like, when that jackal ghost comes out, what is the first thing he does to her? He fucking tears her shirt open. Like, really, bro?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's what I'm trying to say. She was typecast because of that one role in that movie, American Pie, where, like, the overly sexual, naive teenager or whatever.
Yeah.
She was given those roles consistently throughout her career, dude.
Yeah, I know.
And this movie came out, I want to say, about 3 or 4 years after that movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little, I mean, between 2 or 4 years after American Pie.
Yeah.
So she was still, like, in her early 20s, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really remember her doing much of anything else after this. I mean,
Scary Movie, and that was it, I think.
Yeah, she came out in Scary Movie, and then she came out also in a remake of a movie called Night of the Demons, I think.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Which, the original should have come out sometime in the 80s, if I'm correct. And this one, the remake of Night of the Demons, it's sometime from like the late 2000s, maybe 2008, 2009 or 10. Maybe a little later after that, but she came out in that movie also as a sexualized woman.
Yeah. Did she come out in Scooby-Doo?
I don't know.
I feel like she did.
I can't remember, to be honest. But, I mean, yeah, so I feel bad for her because as an actress, she was never able. And it's funny that a lot of those actors that came out in that movie never did anything after that. Or
yeah, I know.
Weren't known for anything. But speaking of her in this specific movie, yeah, she was too airheaded. She was too, like, oh my God, the house, like,
you know.
I didn't like her performance at all, I'm sorry. Like, I thought it was just...
It was bad writing. It really was, because she could have done a lot better, too.
I think so. I liked the nanny, though. The nanny was cool. I liked her as the nanny, the
Oh, the nanny? Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah, I thought she was kind of sassy, but in just the right amount, though. She wasn't, like, overly sassy, like, overly sarcastic or anything like that.
Obnoxious, yeah.
Exactly, because a lot of the characters that are made to be that way are, like, they take it to 11.
Yeah, that's true.
And in her case, I think it was just the right amount. She was just, I think, probably my favorite actor and character in this whole movie. I mean, she had some funny lines, too.
I knew that other girl was going to be a fucking traitor.
Oh, yeah, the investigator?
There was scenes where she was smiling when stuff was going wrong, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so obvious. And then at the end, she just looks so pathetic. I did everything you asked me to do. What did I do wrong? Why are you mad at me? Like, oh my God, bitch, get some fucking respect.
Yeah, she was overly, over the top, dude. Like, just over the
top. It was overdone, yeah. Too much.
Yeah, I think so. And I want to talk also about before I forget, the psychic guy. Because I feel all these characters were severely underdeveloped, dude.
We're joking around about how, like, this guy's always slobbering. In all his movies, there's always spit.
Shaggy.
Yeah, but, like, he did a better job in, like, Scooby-Doo than he did in, like, all these other movies. I know it's his characters, but I don't respect him as a character. As an actor, he's done better things.
Yeah.
He's come out in other shows where he's like a little bit better, but like he's always this douchebag. When he was alive, there was f***ing spit everywhere. But when he's dead, he all of a sudden looks all f***ing like kind of cool. And I'm like, what happened? Did dying just like get rid of all your spit and now you're just articulate and like not spitting everywhere? Like, he falls on the floor and he's like automatically like, spitting.
Oh
Like,
yeah, like
there's like spit connected to his lips. I'm like, ew, dude, that's so gross. Why? Why does there always have to be spit involved? Disgusting.
mean, just speaking straight about his character, I wasn't happy again with the fact that all these characters were underdeveloped. We don't know how they developed this technology, how they found out that these glasses can help you see the spiritual realm.
I know they just appeared.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
never find out how they figured out that all these spells in those glass cages can help contain the ghosts.
Yeah, because they just kind of like skimmed over the book. They didn't really explain it.
They kind of just, I guess, assume that you could figure it out on your own, and you can to an extent because of everything that happens later. I
Yeah.
mean, you find out the guy is like this demonic investigator where he collects all this weird crap and but still, I mean, I would like to see some kind of development as to how they discover this, or even the guy's own abilities. He said he's always had these abilities.
I know, but they never explain it. That's
No.
what my friend was saying too. He's like, does because I forgot. I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, and he's like, do they explain how he gets his powers? Like, did it happen as a kid? Like, or what? Like, was it some traumatic event? Like, what happened? Like, they never say anything. He just has them, you know? Like, and he's always had them. They don't say how.
Yeah.
Or how they really even met. Like, he just says like, oh, this guy like respected me or something. It's like he was my friend. He's like, no, he wasn't. He was using you. That's it. That's all we get about the relationship.
And the kid too, the little kid you mentioned earlier, he was doing a good job. I kind of thought, because in the beginning they kind of make it seem like he's like this like investigative reporter type of character. He's like reading the news and making like a little recording of himself talking about
Oh,
it.
yeah.
So he's like a reporter slash podcaster of the early 2000s. I mean, you know, and I thought that was gonna get somewhere, but it ended up going nowhere. Like they never developed this little boy's talents for, you know, being a, I mean, you know.
Because I mean, the only thing that they used, if at all, is the fact that he wouldn't f-ing listen to his mom, which he didn't recognize her voice either, which I thought was surprising. He was just like overly curious, which I get for an investigative reporter, right? I mean, I guess like, that connected in some way, but that was it. And then the kid disappears. We don't know where he went the entire time, or the girl. They just appear on the circle, and it's like you're not even to show us where you have them captive, like where they're screaming for their dad. And
Yeah, it was. I think this movie could have been longer and it would have been to its own benefit. Maybe like an extra 20, 30 minutes of just them developing little things here and there, I think it would have been better, but I don't know how much better it would have been. I mean, cause...
That's cool. I mean,
And before we finish the segment, I want to just talk about the ghosts real quickly because the ghosts themselves, I don't think they're the main villains of this. And that's like foreshadowing for the third segment of today's episode. But I don't think the ghosts were the main, like, villains in this story. If anything, their stories, most of their stories are pretty tragic.
They're victims, if for like they're
You don't
just.
really get to know too much about them in the movie itself, but they're in the DVD special features, there are little segments for each one of them. Where the uncle, Cyrus is his name, he narrates the life of each ghost before they were dead, and then what happened, you know, to them and how they
Okay.
became a ghost, right? I would have liked to see more of them too.
The girl kept the that chick that just shows up out of nowhere, the traitor. she talks about how she's trying to free them, but they're like serial killers in ghost form. Like, why would you want to? I would much rather have those things trapped, you know? Yeah. Like, why would you want to release them out into the world to continue to kill people? Because they do mention that that one ghost, I don't remember which one it was. It's a juggernaut or something? I don't remember. But, like, one of them, like, the one that they find in the first scene, only killed, like, I don't know, like, four or some people, like, while he was alive.
Yeah.
But he killed more while he was a ghost.
Yeah.
With that logic, why would you want to free them? Doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't, dude. And honestly, if that first scene in the movie is probably the scariest one. If I was going to pick a scary scene from this movie.
Yeah.
That one in the car junkyard, whatever, I think that was probably the most scariest.
Yeah, because people actually get attacked and they get folded into cars and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, stuff happens. There's more action.
I want to say something real quick. Also, I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know. Because, and this is a long time ago, not any time recently, but a long time ago, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, I heard that they're thinking of making a series out of this.
Oh.
And that in the series, you would get to explore more about the origins of the ghosts. I don't think they would have used the same cast.
Yeah.
Of actors, but the characters I think would have been more like somewhat similar, but the whole point of that would have been to explore the background of each of the ghosts more in depth.
That would have been cool.
I thought that would have been pretty cool, dude. I mean, honestly, yeah. Netflix, get on this, you know.
I would watch that.
Se están tardando, ya, you know. It's
been too long, they probably forgot.
Yeah, I mean, by now this property is just not, you know. And honestly, if I go back to my first assessment, I don't think this movie aged well at all, dude.
No, it didn't. It was... The casting was off.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline was a f***ing disaster. Yeah. Maybe that's why I blocked it out of my memory. I swear, I thought I was watching this movie for the first time. Because I didn't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, dude. I think, for me, it was kind of a nostalgia trip. Because I hadn't seen this movie in forever. I think I've only seen it 3 times. Like, when I first saw it.
Uh-huh.
And then a few years after that, and then I think this might be the 3rd or 4th time that I've seen it.
I think this is the 2nd time I've seen it. I don't think I've seen it more than once before.
Yeah, and I don't think I'll be seeing it anytime soon ever. You know? Not again. So I am ready to give it my... Well, I'm going to ask you, my friend, since you've been the most vocal about this movie to the episode. and your clear hatred for this movie. or at least...
Disappointment's more like it.
Or at least, yeah, significant dislike or disappointment. The units for tonight are disgruntled ghosts.
Okay.
How many disgruntled ghosts does this movie get for you?
1.
Giving it a 1?
Yes.
I think that's the lowest any of us have ever rated a
movie. Yeah, it is. I really... I don't even have respect for this movie.
Do you like it less than Wishmaster?
Yes.
Wow, that's saying something, dude. That's saying something, dude.
Wishmaster was corny AF, dude. But I would much rather rewatch Wishmaster than this one.
Wow, dude.
I just can't. It really bothers me that the family just didn't make any freaking sense, dude.
Yeah.
It didn't. What? Like, that little kid. And not to be, like, you know, prejudiced, whatever. But he didn't match. And that really pissed me off. Like,
telling you, he was that time where the milkman was...
Had one of them just looked a little more f***ing Hispanic, dude. It would have made more sense. But not even the mom. The mom was, like, white.
Yeah.
Not give it. Like, wait, también.
Yeah, I think the origin of these characters, or at least the guy, the father, I think they're Greek.
Yeah. Yeah, but the kid doesn't look Greek at all. Like,
I don't know. Dude. So you're giving this a 1?
A 1, yes.
I was going to go a little higher than you, but I'm not going to go too much higher. I'm going to give this a 3.
Okay.
A 3 and 3 disgruntled ghosts plus 1 for you is 4. Divided by 2 is a 2. This movie gets a 2 Disgruntled Ghosts out of 10 for us.
And disappointed Monica's. 2 disappointed Monica's.
All right, any final comments before we move on to our next segment?
No, none at all.
All right, so taking a little break. And we'll come right back with the academic segment, which is a special one for you guys tonight. We'll be right back. Okay, Monica and the audience, we have reached the academic segment in which Monica and I try to connect the topic of the movie to something that could be applied to real life, maybe.
Okay.
So, what do you think we're going to talk about today, Monica? I think you're a little bit in the dark here, but...
Ghosts.
Well, definitely. Yeah, actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was... able to do a Instagram live with Isaac, a podcast host from the podcast titled Hidden in the Shadows.
Okay.
He and his wife are both the hosts for that podcast, and it's pretty good. I like it. I like their the way they carry themselves through the episodes. I like the way they present their information.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And so I met them through Instagram. You know, we kind of started following each other on there, and I asked if they would be gracious enough to let us speak to them at some point and maybe collaborate on an episode, and they were like, yeah, sure. So I did the Instagram live. You weren't there, unfortunately, and so his wife wasn't there either. So it was just him, Isaac, and myself. And Isaac, I'll let him tell his story and, you know, everything that he and his wife are about. But I will say that besides them being hosts for their own podcast, they are also part of a team of paranormal investigators in their area.
Ooh, nice.
So they actually go out and try to explore haunted locations and see if they can find anything. Stuff like that. So what do you think of that?
I think that's pretty cool.
Would you ever be a part of a paranormal team?
No. I would not. I'm too scared.
I would. Like, and we've had this talk before. But
yeah.
I think I would. I think I would definitely like to. And I spoke to him about this, like how I would at some point want to be a part of a team like that. And just because I feel like I want to experience something like that.
I don't, dude. I want to mess with ghosts. Like, honestly, like, I've seen too many movies where people get possessed. And obviously, you know, they're fictional, but like, I mean, some, you know, allegedly based on real events. So I'm not going to take any chances.
Well, he talks about how he does that. And like, again, I'll let him tell his story. But he does talk about how he kind of preps himself for that, how the whole process works for him. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of like a little interview that we can share with the audience. Interview and let him tell his story. And like we've said before, here at EMBL, we do provide an open forum for people to tell their stories. However, their accounts and opinions are their own and may not reflect those of our hosts. Right? So we're not here to convince anyone to think anything. We're here to present people's testimonies as they told them to us. And the audience has the final word or the final judgment on this. I mean, they can choose to believe or not believe on what Isaac or any of our other guests have to say, right?
To each their own.
To each their own, yeah. And, I mean, full disclaimer, Monica and I do believe in paranormal stuff. I mean, but again, it's not our job to try to convince anybody to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if you're listening to podcasts like this, you kind of at least have an inclination to believe in something like that.
Or you just really like to listen to our voices. So, either or, thank you guys.
Yes, our silky smooth delivery. So, you got any more comments before we let Isaac tell his story to our audience?
Nope, let's hear it.
All right, good. So, here is the interview that I was able to do with Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows podcast. How's it going, man?
Good. It's nice to meet you.
Likewise, man.
My face is pretty.
Yeah. So you guys are from Hidden in the Shadows podcast, right?
Yeah.
And you guys are based from Carolina, north or south?
North Carolina.
Do you specialize in any one little topic, or do you like do a broad
spectrum? Well, like I've said before, not everything we talk about, but most things we talk about in our podcast, we've had experiences with, and some bases of knowledge on, because I have always been a fanatic with the paranormal, and Megan has consistently lived with it her entire life. As much as I have, but she's actually been haunted more than I have. My only main hauntings and paranormal experiences would happen on my ranch, the infamous ranch we always talk about. But her, everywhere she's ever lived, everywhere she's ever gone, it's always been haunted, always, by something or someone consistently. And I was a fan of it, and I just wanted to study more on it. So I actually watched Ghost Adventures. I was a fan of that show, with the Ghost Hunters when that first came out and stuff like that. And I did my own little research on certain things and certain subjects. So I don't say I'm like extremely knowledgeable on most things, but I can keep a conversation on most things when it comes to the paranormal.
Since I was a little kid, man, I just always watched like movies. I would read books about true hauntings, you know, reports of ghost sightings in old houses and hospitals, stuff like that. And ever since then, I grew up wanting to know more and more about this topic. And of course, I mean, horror movies are my favorite. I grew up in the 80s watching all those Jason, Freddy movies, stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that for you guys, both of you guys have had like personal experience with this.
Yeah. And it goes back a long way. Her, since she can remember, and me, not as far as back. I can remember it about 7 or 8. Like first paranormal experiences, and then it did happen over periods of time throughout my life. And everyone I've met always has a ghost story of some kind, especially when I bring up the paranormal, which is in a little bit.
Yeah.
And now I bring it up a lot because I am now a paranormal investigator. So people ask, hey, what do you do on the side? I'm like, oh, I do paranormal investigating. Oh, really? Well, let me tell you about this. And, you know, so they often think they always bring me a story of some kind. But yeah, her mother's memory of her talking to her deceased grandfather when she was like maybe 2-3 years old in her crib. She's psychic. She's medium. She has a mediumship. She has those abilities.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, she's been with her since forever. So that's why she's always been, or ghosts have always been attached to her, or at least attracted to her, because they know they can talk to her and they know that she can hear them.
In my experience, when I talk to people, like you said, everyone has some sort of story they heard or that they experienced themselves. But some people that I met are like, nah, you know, I don't believe in that stuff and whatever. And I'm thinking that maybe in the case of somebody like her, for example, where she's had that kind of thing going on for a long amount of time, since basically she was a baby, that I was going to ask if you thought it was possible that some people might be more sensitive than others when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, definitely. The ability of the psychic, the medium, stuff like that, I think it comes at most people at an early age in their life, and it grows or they expand or it becomes muted altogether if they reject those abilities whatsoever. Now, everyone has some kind of sensitivity to the other side, whether they embrace it or ignore it. But some people, like my wife and myself, have something extra that gives us an edge when it comes to the paranormal. Like she is automatically in tune to hear them and feel their emotions, and she can get messages, she can remote view. She's going to apparently be able to do everything that any psychic and medium can do, mm-hmm. and then some. That's what makes her so, I guess, not say valuable, but she's going to have a lot of abilities. Okay. And gather them all up. Mine is only in my hands. If it even is a psychic ability, I've talked to many paranormal investigators and many different psychics, and they have heard nothing what I can do. Nothing like it. Not even anything close. Which makes me think it's not psychic based. It might be something else. Closest that the other psychic on the team named Mike, who's very powerful, he says it sounds like shaman kind of thing. Like a medicine man from like either Native American lore or like Aztec lore, which I, being his Mexican myself, am half Aztec, or my ancestry goes back that far. And I only gained this ability within like last year.
The way that works, I mean, if you can clarify that for me, that you get, like, touch something and you get some sort of experience through it, or how does that?
No. I can feel the energy of the dead.
Okay.
The energy that they generate to be on our plane, especially when I describe it to someone, it's like the energy they absorb from batteries, or maybe lights flicker, or the energy they take in order to make something move, talk out loud, scratch you, or do anything like that. They have to have the energy to be on our plane. That energy I can feel. I can feel, depending on what kind of entity is. If it's my left hand, it's a good spirit, human spirit. If it's my right hand, it's a dark entity, something evil. It's like a sensation. Ever know when your hands feel like they're asleep?
Yeah.
Like that tingling sensation in your palms. That's what it feels like when my hands charge, is a word I use. It's a sensation I feel when they're near. Like I can feel it. That's not all, though. Apparently, I can absorb their energy and take them off the plane. That makes any sense. Like I take the energy into my hands of what they have. I take them off the plane. I basically, they have to restart over. Basically, they go back into whatever reality dimension that they're from, and then have to start over again to get back on the plane. So I take the energy. What it looks like in my mind, I guess third eye, whatever you want to say it is, it's, if you imagine somebody, and then when I do this, I like all their skin, their hair, their clothes, whatever like that comes like ripping off and like being absorbed like smoke into the palm of my hand, and what's left over is like a blank mannequin of nothing left over, and which dissipates into non-existence. And like I've said before, I've talked to many psychics, mediums, no one has ever heard of anything like this.
I mean, that doesn't like freak you out, man? Like the first time that it happened, what did that make you think?
I had doubt, like, am I, is this in my head? Am I, is this a medical thing? You know, but I've lived with weird for so long that I was like, is this something? And then I started getting clarification from it by my wife and my son, because my son has shown signs of some kind of abilities, just kind of talking to them. Like he can see them, he can see the spirits and stuff like that. When I figured out which one is right and versus left is one night in our backyard when I was barbecuing. He was back there with me, and he was playing with his toys, and I see a shadow figure run in my peripheral vision. And I look, and I'm like, okay. So I reached down, I started to feel, and my right hand was feeling this energy, not my left. I was like, okay, is it right or left? Right or left? So I was like, it's my right. And I started following it into deeper into our backyard. And whatever it was scaring Killian. Killian was giving, he has a little sign language because he can't speak, of like fear. Like he would make his hands together like he's afraid.
Yeah.
And my wife, when Megan came out, and she was like, what's wrong? And he was pointing in the direction that I was following this. And he made his face like this, like, argh, like it's like it's a monster.
Oh, okay.
And then I reached out and I felt, and then I pulled. And when I pulled, it was intense. It was hard. It felt like liquid electricity running through my hand and my arm. It was like staticky at the same time when I pulled it, and I pulled a lot, and it ran from me. And Megan said, Killian says it's over by you. And I was like, yeah, I know. She came over and tried to find it, and she did. And when she got near it, it whispered her name. And she said it sounded evil. So that gave me a thing. Okay, I did that with my right hand, so this must be a dark entity. Mm-hmm. And then one time, a spirit was in this room, funny enough, and I felt it with my left hand, and Megan goes, oh, that's Amanda, a spirit that's been coming every now and then. So I was like, okay, it's a human spirit. And that's when I learned left to right. And then after these investigations that I've been doing, I become more, it's like it's a confirmation of what I can do. It's confirmation that, okay, right versus left, and what I can pull off the plane. And what's even crazier now, it's almost like upgrading powers. Best way to describe it.
Leveling up.
If you ever played Infamous, like or any video game like it, or like you basically have like a baseline power, and then you play the game to further upgrade your abilities on basically the same power.
Yeah. So the more you use it, the more like you can like is it stronger or?
Well, yeah, it gets stronger, but no, I had a thought in my head. If I can absorb dark energy out in the air, essentially, can I absorb it from a solid object? So I tried putting my hand to the ground and pulling from the earth everything that is in a radius of me. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I can. And it took a lot of... It was difficult. I remember one time I did it, and I pulled so much energy into one haunted location into my hand from one spot that my arm just went dead. Wow. Like, I lost all feeling in it, and I was like, ah, and the pain in them. Eventually, I got my feeling back and stuff like that. But I absorbed that much energy that I literally killed my arm.
Wow, man.
Yeah, and that's just from the ground. And I don't know how widespread I sent this radius out or anything like that, but yeah, I've been able to do that now, along with just, you know, zip in the air.
That's crazy, man. Like, and so you like discover new uses for your abilities as time's been going by.
And I know an obvious question is, where does that energy go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
most people ask. Here's another thing. My body apparently works like a filtration unit. It's the best way I can describe it. Yeah, that sounds silly, but it's like the energy I absorb, whether light or negative, will go through my body, I guess, and filtrate out of me as neutral energy. And then every kind of like a chill up your spine, like, ooh, you know, like that kind of mm-hmm. that feeling sensation.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like when I release this energy, and it comes out of my mouth. But not like the Green Mile with like the bugs flying out and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
It's just like I can see it. It's like if it sounds like I'm just getting like a breath, like that. But one time I closed my eyes and I tried to see it when I did it, and it just looked like neutral air, like wavelengths of air, and that was clear.
Kind of like the way you breathe in a cold day, or what?
Not misty, but if it had that the same shape, but you know, just like. Okay. Like wavy, I guess. It's really hard to describe unless you can see it. Because when I absorb with the left, it looks like white smoke, and I absorb with the right, it's black. Mm-hmm. And so someone asked me once when I tried to explain this to them, they asked me, so do you hear them? I'm like, no. That's the other catch, I think, to this, is that I have a mental block on my mind. So strong, apparently, that no psychic has been ever able to read me at all. They all say the same thing. Like, they can kind of see something, but it's always, like, shielded. I'm shielded. I'm blocked. I can't get through. It's always been what's been told. So I can't hear them. I can't hear any spirits. If even they talk to me, I won't be able to hear them unless they speak out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our most experienced psychic on the team, Mike, he said this ability of mine could be used for evil. And if it ever was, I'd be extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But because... of who I am, because I've had a hero complex about my entire life. I always had to do the right thing. I always had to be the good guy. Ever since this ability came to me, it's like I have an urge to fight darkness. I've had an urge to take these evil beings off the plane so they stop bothering people and stuff like that. And that's, if you asked me earlier, does it ever freak me out with this thing? No, actually, it made me fearless. Mm-hmm. I can go into a haunted location that would be like, ooh, like people would like scared to go into. And the second I go in there, anything that comes my way, I can easily, you know, take off the plane
mm-hmm.
and scare the shit out of the other ones, so they start backing off pretty quick. Unless they are, you know, hell bent on coming at me, and then they're not going to last long. I've never come up something, sorry, yet never come up to up against something yet that has really like. Attacked me. Has ever like touched me or got that close?
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm going to describe it is just two kinds of dark entities that I've encountered so far, which is smoke and sand. That's the best way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke is it's easy. I can absorb it. It's, you know, air. But sand, those entities are a little stronger, a little harder to take, but they fall all the same. And the sand is the one reason I started wearing armor. Essentially, I have a St. Benedict coin bracelet that's been blessed by a bishop. I have a rosary bracelet that holds a crucifix that was from my grandmother made me that's been blessed by a priest. I have two bracelets that Erica, always on our team of No Paranormal, has made me all encased with stones, protection stones, from two crystals to hematite to turquoise to silver, and basically anything that could, you know, basically protect me. With all those on my arm at one time, I haven't come across anything so far that's ever caused me any kind of pain. It caused me a little soreness, but nothing like when I first started doing this. Yeah, with those pieces on, I don't get affected as much as I used to. Like, I never took stock in the crystals and stones and rocks and what they can do. Mm-hmm. But after having these on my arm in investigations, those bracelets vibrate before my hand charges. Mm-hmm. Like, I would get a vibration from the bracelet and then my hand would charge. So, yeah, those stones are no joke. If I suggested to anyone to get, like, a crystal if you feel like you're having dark entity, or get some hematite or onyx or indigo, whatever the black stone is, I can't remember the dang name right now. But yeah, those stones they really help.
Yeah, dude, it's always been interesting to me how people can just decide to go into these locations where they're like, you know, reportedly all these dark energies and stuff like that, and just go in there and spend the night and just kind of start recording stuff. And yeah, dude, that's one of the things that I definitely hope I can do one day, you know, maybe once this whole craziness ends. I can get some people together and jump into one of those investigations, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any teams around where you live and stuff like that.
Nah.
But you don't know anybody?
Have you heard anybody? I know people that are enthusiasts and that they claim to go visit graveyards and stuff like that, but I know them and it's not that I wouldn't join them because I know they're people that like to have fun. You know, so my feeling is that they would go in there as not so much as a joke, but at the same time, I don't think they would be taking them seriously, like, or too much, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
As I tell people before, when it comes to the paranormal, stuff like that, you can watch shows, you can see stuff on YouTube, you can watch channels like that, but until you go out, until you experience it in real life, like I did myself, that's when it becomes real. Like, oh, shit, this is real. This is, and I mean, granted, I've experienced it in my life, but when I actually went out to a location, went looking for it, instead of them coming to us, is when it got real. It got actually understood that this is real. This is not imagination in your head. This is not just you. It's everywhere. And that realization came to my mind when, of course, I did my first investigation. And when you experience that, when you see stuff and you, things in the woods or a house or something like that, that's not your own. That's when it gets like, okay, this stuff is going on.
Yeah, man. So, man, it's been great speaking to you, dude. I had a really good time sharing experiences back and forth. Is there anything else you want to give us? Maybe your contact info? I see somebody asking about your podcast there on Spotify. You want to share that info with them?
Yes, it is on Spotify. Hidden in the Shadows. One thing that if anyone listening to yours and anyone watching, to start a podcast, right? Anyone can do it, essentially. But what makes a podcast interesting and people want to listen to is personality. If you do not have a personality, if you're monotone, if you don't have any inflection, if you're not passionate about what you're talking about, no one's going to want to listen to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why me and Megan's podcast does so well, is because we both have personality, essentially, but we also make it's our natural personalities that come through that people find entertaining. They find laughing and stuff like that. We don't try to make it funny. It's just us. When we conversate about it, things happen that are funny in what we're talking about. So even when in the most morbid things, it happens that way. But yeah, that's the only advice I give to anyone ever starting a podcast. Make sure you have personality, make sure you're passionate about what you're talking about, and make sure you're knowledgeable about what also you're talking about. Because if you're like going there half-assed, then people are going to figure it out.
Oh, but yeah, dude.
To catch us on Instagram, where this is, but for people who are listening, it's Hidden in the Shadows at Hidden in the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden in the Shaw 6 on Twitter, Hidden in the Podcast 2, I didn't pick the name, on TikTok, and I think we have a Facebook, which is Hidden in the Shadows, I think. But yeah, those are our main sources, and then you can check out our podcast on anywhere you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, all those places, even YouTube. Now we have, we just basically post the audio up on YouTube.
Awesome, dude. So, well, thank you very much for giving us this time tonight, dude. It's been awesome, and you know, maybe sometime we can talk again, you know?
Yeah.
Down the line, it's definitely enjoyable. Hopefully, you know, both Megan and Monica can join us or you know, have their perspective on things, you know.
No. Well, if we do that, we got to do all four of us, and we have to record it, like, for a bonus episode, either for mine or yours.
Yeah, definitely. That works for me, dude. That's cool, because it's always fun to collaborate with other people, because you get their side of things, the way they see things, their perspective, their stories, and it's always interesting to me to listen to people. Like, in your case, tonight, for example, you share all that stuff that you've been doing and that you've started to do, and, you know, so that's really interesting for me to hear, man. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
Talk to you later.
It's been great, man. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are now at the Know Thine Enemy section after having listened to Isaac's story on his paranormal investigation team and his own abilities as a paranormal investigator. So in the Know Thine Enemy segment, Monica, what we do is we kind of focus on the villain a little bit more in depth, right?
Yes.
And like I mentioned earlier, I don't think the ghosts are the main villains of the story, because they're just kind of victims of circumstance, right?
Yes.
Some of them are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them actively try to, like, hurt and kill people. But I think, in the end, they're not really the main bad.
Yeah.
So, I guess that responsibility would fall on the shoulders of Mr. Cyrus Kritikos, who is none other than the noted adventurer?
Yeah, and ghost collector.
So, his classification under my bulletproof, failproof, fireproof system of classification would be dual-natured. He pretends he's just a regular eccentric millionaire. He's just like a regular crazy rich guy. But like you said, Monica, he's actually a ghost collector or a paranormal researcher, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And once again, I want to take the opportunity to say that I wish I would have seen more in the movie about how he came across all this information.
Yeah, me too.
How he was able to develop all the special technology with the glasses and the glass cages with all those Latin phrases that kept the ghosts, you know, locked.
How is he so rich? Like, what does he do that he's so rich?
According to the guy, you know, the father, he said that his family had wealth at some point. They never specify from what.
That's what I would like to know.
Yeah, and he said that everyone in the family stopped talking to him because he was just spending the money like crazy on stupid stuff. So,
well,
it's never really explained how his family came into all this money.
Yeah.
So, but said money did help him to collect all these weird artifacts and develop all this weird technology. And how rich you have to be to spend money like that and still be rich?
Right. Also, I mean, his outfit. The cliche rich man with his little scarf and shit. Like, he looks so ridiculous.
Oh, and the cane too, right? You know, full disclaimer, if I was that rich, I think I would dress like that.
Yeah, I could see you with the little hat.
Try to look all dapper, you know? I mean, you see me when we hang out. I don't dress up like in a tuxedo or anything, but I try to dress up a little bit, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but like the way that this man dressed was like excessive. Yeah. Like he was like, I want everyone to know I'm eccentric with a capital E. Yeah. Did he have a cane?
Yeah,
because that's all he did, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Which was actually a f-ing little knife.
Yeah.
Pointy stick. Mm-hmm.
So I guess his motivation or goal would be to be able to build this so-called machine, which I think they call the Ocularis Infernum.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my Latin skills are up to par for this.
Which Infernum already tells you it's bad.
Well, yeah, if you know Spanish, infierno is hell.
Infierno.
So basically the whole point of this machine is it allows the person who creates it or who builds it to see everything through time and space. They can see the past, the present, the future. Basically anything they want to see or know, this machine can show it to them.
That's crazy, dude. Imagine, like, this guy be, like, binge-watching all types of things on this machine.
Can you imagine, just for the sake of argument, let's say something like this was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, like, oh, I want to see how they fought in the such and such war.
Right.
How this country was conquered. And you could, like, see it from your own little
globe
vantage point. Or, oh, I want to see how Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa.
That's insane, dude. You can literally, like, learn so much.
If it's used for well, I mean, but, I mean...
He's obviously going to use it for, you know, bad things.
Well, given the fact that this machine has demonic origins, I think the implication is that anyone who builds it is going to be using it for evil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just crazy how you really would have no limit to... Whatever you want to know, it'll be at the, you know...
Everything.
Yeah. That's a crazy amount of power, dude.
That's too much power, yeah. I mean, I get, okay, looking into the past or looking into the future, but, like, all present, future, and past, like, you would know things that you shouldn't know. Like, my brain would break, like...
Imagine just asking, like, how is the world going to end?
How were we made? How are we created?
Oh, yeah.
That, like, whoa. Okay. Yeah.
Is reality real or are we a fantasy?
Right? Is this all a lie? And then, you know, you find out and it's like, oh, no.
When it comes to that, it's always... I try not to think about it too much because I feel like I can overwhelm myself.
Same.
With the implications of me trying to figure out my place in the universe, which is, like, nothing, dude. Really.
Yeah. Respect.
We are nothing in the universal scheme of things. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the video. It was a little viral because everyone was reacting to it. All these people were reacting to how big the universe is.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Yeah, you can watch all these things on YouTube. Like, everyone reacts to it.
It zooms out, right? Uh-huh. To show you the scale. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a trip. So we're nothing. We are nothing.
We are nothing, dude. We are a microbe.
Yeah.
And the universal scheme of things. And that's scary.
We're not even a grain of sand, dude. We're way smaller than that. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, we're like an electron, dude, or something even smaller than that.
And we're over here acting like we're the main character in the show. We're not. We're not even close to it.
It's crazy, dude. Like, how...
Like, what else is out there, dude? Like, imagine, like...
The more you think about it, the scarier it gets.
It does. Really. That's why I don't. I'm like, you know what? I'm here. For a good time, not a long time. Let's make it fun. Because we're all going to die anyway.
Yeah, because what I can tell you is that I've always wondered how the solar system, you know, looks like an atom.
You know
those models in science class? I don't know if it's an atom or whatever, but I forgot. I'm a little...
I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
So it's like the nucleus would be the sun, and then everything else that's spinning around it is the planets, right?
Yeah. And that's what's inside of us.
Yeah.
Dude.
We are the universe to whatever lives inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
What if in like some sort of like super microscopic, like in those Marvel movies in the quantum realm, what if there's people like us living inside of us?
Dude, I know. I think about that sometimes too, and I'm like, whoa, I can't. I have to stop because it's too much.
Yeah, dude, so imagine somebody as crazy as this guy finding out all those things about life and the universe and everything. Like,
dude, he wouldn't make it. He would die because his brain would explode. That's too much. I know everybody wants to know how everything was created, how we were made, where we come from, what we are, like, but we really don't. If we knew, we're not. And we will never be ready for that because, like, I've heard this theory before about how, like, the reason why people go crazy and their brain breaks is because they find out something that we weren't supposed to know. and their brain can't grasp the idea of it, so they just fucking go insane.
Uh-huh. And I don't know if I've told you this story before, but I know I've told this story to somebody recently. When I was in high school, I had a teacher, really smart lady, math teacher, and I think she was the one that told me this story because I can't remember anyone else being in that wavelength. But I think it was her that told me that, and I'm going to make a disclaimer here. I don't know if it's true what the story is about, you know, but I'm just relaying the information from somebody secondhand that I haven't seen in like 25 years, whatever, 20 years, you know, like since I was in high school. But this lady, I'm assuming it's her because she was really knowledgeable about math.
Yeah.
Either her or somebody in that time of my life told me that the whole invention of calculus by Newton, or the discovery or whatever you want to call it, of math, you know, calculus, which is how we were able to launch stuff into space and have cell phones and everything, by the way, that Isaac Newton was the one that is most known for. There was some other dude that was also kind of working on the same thing, but he never gets credit. I forgot his name. But you know, Isaac Newton is the one that gets credited for that. But the whole thing with him is that he was also we've spoken about him in a different episode. I think we talked about him in As Above, So Below. Because he was also, on top of being a really intelligent mathematician, he was also like an obscure, like, researcher. He liked to know all these about things about the occult and everything. So when he was working on this, the story that she told me was that he became so scared that he was discovering all this math that nobody had ever seen before. That he actually kind of stopped for a little bit because he was scared he was going to unlock like some sort of weird like key to the universe with this math.
Wow. I never understood it. I couldn't even get past algebra. So yeah, no.
But can you imagine the feeling of somebody like you're on the verge of discovering something that no one's ever seen before? You got to wonder, am I going crazy? Is this actually real? Or is it all in my mind?
Exactly. Am I just inventing shit? Yeah.
Yeah, and if so, am I crazy for doing this? Am I insane? And I'm seeing all these things that I think I'm coming to believe are true. Are they true? Are they even real?
Yeah.
So
I would go crazy. No.
I mean, eventually he was able to overcome all those fears and everything, and he published his findings, and that's how we have all this knowledge out there.
Yeah.
But they're saying, or she said rather, that had he kept going at the pace he was going, I think math would have advanced a lot quicker than it did in real life. Because I think he stopped working for a year or two or something like that, according to her.
Yeah.
And by the way, if all this is false, please do correct me. I'm just relaying a story here, right? I'm not claiming this is true, like, at all.
Accurate or anything,
I mean, if it is true, if you heard the story from somebody else yourself, do let us know if you can. And if, again, if it's not true, if you know for a fact that this is a bunch of bullshit, please do let us know, because I don't want to stand here and pretend that I'm telling you guys a truth. I'm just relaying a story somebody told me.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to frame it in the sense of, like, can you imagine putting yourself in that frame of mind? Where, like, you're working on this for a good amount of time, and you kind of just discover all these equations and all this crazy math and everything, and you're like, what am I even doing in life? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
All right, so it goes back to this guy not being able to handle his little machine, because he would go crazy, dude.
That is too much information for one person to even understand. Like, way too much power. Sure, it could be beneficial, but I wouldn't want to know all those things. I know that for a fact, because, dude, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of responsibility. Like, because what do you even do with that information, you know? And then if something happens and you can't, you don't do anything about it, you're going to feel responsible for whatever the consequences are. Like, I don't want that in my mind. Like, I am good with what I know right now. I think I can sleep at night. That's all that matters to me. So
I think definitely it is too much. We can know too much.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to stop your pursuit of truth or whatever it is.
Everybody do whatever you want to do. But for me personally, like, I'll remain in in bliss, the bliss of ignorance.
I think some things are meant to not be known by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or by anyone, for that matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to stop anybody from doing what they want to do, but that is just my opinion here. So,
same.
Going back to Cyrus real quick, after like an hour of going off in this wild tangent about the universe.
I know, we're not even small as a grain of sand. We're f***ing below that, like, damn.
I know. So anyway, Cyrus, the ghost adventurer. So, yeah, he has all this knowledge of the arcane arts of the occult and everything. He has the power of money behind him. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean, with money, you can do so much. So, you know...
As far as his weaknesses, I mean, he's just a regular dude. He's like in his 50s, so just one shove can break his back or whatever.
Right, but he's loaded, so he could easily turn the freaking back into like a bionic spine or whatever, you know? So
he becomes Iron Man.
Right, his origin story. I mean, that's like, when you have that ludicrous amount of money, you're not a regular dude. You're just powerful in a different sense.
Yeah, but I mean, like, physically, he can just fall down a flight of stairs and die, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, he fooled everybody into thinking he was a ghost.
Yeah.
And so this dude connected the dots and was like, wait.
Yeah.
If 13 ghosts here, then... Like, come on, bro. Like.
Yeah, it took him like an hour and a half, but okay.
For real. Come on.
Yeah, so the opinion of Cyrus Criticos, I think this guy is a bag of douche.
Same.
Because he was shown to hurt his own family to achieve his goals, and the sense that he killed his nephew's wife.
Yeah, like, what a greedy motherfucker. Like, and greed for what? For the power? Why couldn't he kill somebody else's ghost? Like, why did it have to be her? Like, there's so many people in the hospital. Like, come on.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think killing anyone will be just evil enough, but...
Yeah, but like, if you're gonna, like, I mean, dude, you're gonna screw with your own family, like, that's the lowest of the low.
Even then, I do still think that his character was underdeveloped, and that his knowledge, or how he came to gain this knowledge, was never really explored or explained.
Mm-hmm.
So, as such, I don't think he's very memorable.
No, he's not. He really isn't. I forgot he was even there, like, for, like, during the movie, like, until he popped up and was like, oh, I'm a ghost, like...
Yeah, because I think for a while, people, like, they would have you think that the ghosts are the main evil. Because they're the ones trying to hurt, like, hunt and hurt the family.
Yeah, but from the beginning, though, he was the main source of all that evil. He was the one trapping the ghosts, you know? He's the one who put his family at risk in his creepy freaking house, knowing he's got ghosts locked up in there.
So, how many skulls on the scare meter does this gentleman get from you, my friend?
Well, this guy is pretty scary because he could be your uncle, you know? He could be someone in your own family. So, I'll give him 8.
I give him an 8?
Just because, dude, greed is, like, scary, man.
That, I definitely do agree with it. I was just thinking about it in the context of the movie itself, as a villain in the movie itself. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Like, I understand your point. But I'm going to disagree with you and give this guy a 2 out of 10 skulls in the scare meter.
We're on polar opposites, like...
Yeah, and because, yeah, like you say, I mean, I understand that point of view.
Yeah.
That greed has been and probably will be until we all become extinct. Reason for people to hurt each other, and I don't know, dude, it's just but as, speaking strictly as a character in the movie, I think he was like eh.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't that great. I mean, he was easily defeated too, just by a distraction, so that's true. All right, I'm gonna bring my score down.
No, you don't have to.
I want to.
Okay.
Up to 4.
Well, okay, that makes a little more sense, I guess. But I do want to say that I do understand where you're coming from, you know.
Yeah.
As far as the whole greed angle. So 2 and a 4 is a 6, divided by 2 is a 3 out of 10 skulls in the scare meter, my friend.
Okay, I can live with that.
I think it's a worthy score for a worthless movie.
That's true.
So,
Better.
Any final comments on Cyrus Criticos before we move on, my friend?
Nah. It's not worth it.
I think we've said enough about him for the time being. So, yes, that was our Know Thine Enemy segment. And we'll be right back with the final remarks for tonight's episode. Okay, Monica, and the audience and everyone out there, the sad face for tonight. Once again, we are at the end of our podcast episode, my friend. I know. I always have such a great time making these episodes with you.
Same.
It's always a lot of fun. Yeah, so I want to thank everyone that listened to today's episode. If you're a first-time listener, thank you very much. If you're a repeat listener, thank you very much for sticking around, being part of the EMBL squad.
Yes.
So, shout outs. I want to give shout outs to a couple of people. I want to give a shout out to my friend Fidel. I saw him the other day at work.
Nice.
He's also a musician, and he let me know that he likes the podcast and he thinks we're doing good. So, thank you, Fidel.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for your feedback, sir. I also want to give a shout out to, once again, Isaac and Meg from the Hidden in the Shadows podcast for agreeing to talk to us during their Instagram live, and I want to say for one that I hope we get to collaborate with them again soon.
Yes.
Thank you guys once again. And I want to also give a shout out, big shout out to the new followers on our social media accounts.
Which I keep seeing the activity, guys. Thank you.
Yes, it's awesome. Actually, I was not expecting for Twitter to blow up the way it did recently.
Neither did I.
Because for the longest time, full disclaimer, Twitter was kind of our slowest platform, really.
Yeah.
And then in the past couple of weeks, it's kind of like mode in there.
Well, yeah, but thanks to you, though, because you've been pushing it. So it's all due to your hard work.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I will take that as a shout out from you to me. Modesty before everything. I try to not be annoying. Although maybe sometimes it does come across like that, but I mean, if you don't put your name out there, no one's gonna know you, so.
True.
But I really do appreciate all the feedback, all the love we are getting on our Twitter account, especially. Mm-hmm. The other ones too, though, Facebook and Instagram are still kind of active, but Twitter has been seeing a little bit of an uptick in their activity, so thank you guys. How about you, Monica? Any particular shout outs you want to give?
No, just to like the people on Letterboxd, the people that have been following us on there, people that have been following us on Twitter. It's nice to see those notifications. It gives me a little boost. You know, nice. I love it.
Today I had a long day at work. Dude, I had a long day.
Yeah.
We were understaffed. People didn't show up to work, etc., etc., for whatever reason. So I was running back and forth trying to cover three departments.
Damn.
And yeah, it was a long day. So then I came home to, you know, to my computer, and I see all these notifications and all these social media accounts, and it's like, yes. So yeah, it's definitely a big boost of morale for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys. Do reach out to us, by the way, if you have anything you want to tell us, if you want to give us any feedback, what we're doing right, what we may not be doing right, in your opinion. Mm-hmm. If you have something you want to share with us, please, by all means, also reach out to us. If you have a story you want to tell us, if you have a picture, a video you maybe took in a haunted location and you want to share that with us and have us share that with our audience, by all means, we can always give you credit and we can always make that something like that happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, people from like our hometown, like we know that there's a bunch of like places that are, you know, allegedly haunted. So if you guys want to share those stories, that would be great. Personal experiences, all that stuff.
Yeah, that reminds me. My friend Jen, she said that she'd be down to come in.
Oh, Nice.
And doing it, because she says she's experienced some weird stuff throughout her life. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool to get her on board for
an episode sometime. Awesome.
Yeah. So, reminder for our social media accounts, we do have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com. Wait, did I say that wrong? It sounded wrong.
No, you said mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com. That's the right address, my friend.
Okay, I'm just tripping. I'm tired, guys. It's been a long day.
All right, so we have our letterboxed as a Myths Behind LGDS. And we also have our website, which is as follows. myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsite.com. Mode right there.
Yeah, for real. This could be a little song. It already has a beat.
Dude, I'm doing it on purpose because I sync it up to a little beat that I put on the...
Oh, nice.
So yeah, like I'm going a little bit crazy with the sound effects, but I think, you know, it's getting there.
Okay.
It's adding a little bit of atmosphere and a little bit of a character to our pod. What is that word?
Pizzazz.
There you go. That is exactly the word that I was thinking of.
Pizzazz?
Yes.
Nice. Cool.
Dude, you're like right in my mind, honestly. I'm not even kidding.
I haven't said that word in a really long time.
Yeah.
Pizzazz.
It's amazing how you like brought that out of my mind.
I know a lot of words, not to brag, but you know, I also watch a lot of TV. That's how I learned these words. But yeah.
Okay, Monica. So I think it's time to let the audience know what the topic for next episode will be, or at least give them a hint.
Okay. So the hint is, and this is very bad, guys. Identity theft.
That's all I'm gonna say. That's interesting.
Yeah. The internet is a very powerful thing.
Yeah, and I could go on. I have a story, but I'll save that for another time. Maybe for the actual episode itself.
Okay.
I got a story about people hacking my information, so yeah.
Okay,
that'll be the appropriate time to tell that story. So in the meantime, do you have any final comments, Monica, before we say goodbye to our audience for tonight?
No, I'm ready to go to bed. My bedtime.
I do have some final comments, and that is to avoid this movie at all costs.
Yeah, I suggest the same.
The only reason that I would suggest anyone to watch the movie is like if they're from my generation and they want to do like a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, or a drinking game.
Yeah, they can get creative with that. So.
Yeah.
All right, having said all that, that was our episode for tonight. I want to once again thank everybody that's been listening in, and I want to wish you guys a great morning, evening, night, late night, milkman rounds, whatever you guys are up to. Like this lady in the movie. Yeah.
Right.
Allegedly. And until we see you in the next one, have a good one.
Bye.